Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And yes, I want to just say what a joy it is to be together this morning and to be able to worship together. My name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, I would love that opportunity. At the end of our time together, I'll be down front. Some other leaders from our church family will be down front. And we just would love to meet you and get to know you and to know how we can come alongside you and encourage you in your faith and what God is doing here. As you heard already from Pastor Kyle's welcome, and you can see behind me on the screen, it is a day that we set apart to bless and give thanks and honor our graduating seniors that are at a moment in their life where something is going to change. They're going to enter into a new season. And as much as we want to bless and honor those seniors, I've thought a lot about this over the last couple of weeks preparing for this Sunday morning. I really would probably rename this or rebrand this Sunday as a Sending Sunday, as a mobilization Sunday, because really what we are asking God to do is we pray for these seniors when they come to a moment in their lives where they're in this season of transition to whatever God has for them next. We're praying that they would continue to live out the mission of God, that they would be used by God to take the gospel and to take the hope of Christ wherever they may end up going in their lives and whatever journey they might be on. Famously, Yoda in The Last Jedi says to Luke Skywalker, "We are what they grow beyond. We are what they grow beyond." He's talking to Luke at a moment where Luke is not sure about training Rey and training this next generation of Jedis. And Yoda comes to him to remind him that this legacy and the passing on of what they have learned is vital to their mission. Even more importantly than Yoda is God's word, of course. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, God says that for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord and the waters as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. This tells us all the way back in Habakkuk, this minor prophet that most of you might have skipped over in your Bible reading plan. And this prophet says that God's glory will be seen across the globe. Jesus would come, of course, and he would lay down his life for the sins of the world. 3 days later, take up his life again, and then commission his disciples to go and make disciples. And we are here because those 12 were faithful. And there will be generations that follow that will be in places of worship wherever they might find themselves around the globe, because we and those that we send out and mobilize, they too will take seriously the calling to make disciples. And so as we bless these seniors, it's really an opportunity for us as a church family to recognize that one of the things that God has given this church, this local church, City Church specifically, is an opportunity to see students raised in this church family and then sent out to go make much of his name wherever that might be. Some will transition from being students in the student ministry to pouring into the next generations of students as they stay here at home and begin their professional career. Some will go off to college campuses and begin to disciple and to pour into other people and be discipled by new groups of friends. Some will go into the service in the military and whatever the Lord may have an opportunity to take the gospel message wherever they go. And what will lead to that? What causes that to happen? What gives them the understanding of that mission? It's that they understand what Christ has done for them, the gospel, and they believe in that gospel. And they believe that it is the hope of the world, so much so that they would make that a priority for their lives. And so you may be here this morning, and especially if you're a guest, you're thinking, oh man, this is going to be all about the seniors. And it is a lot about our seniors. We do want to bless them. But let me encourage you in this. God has a word for every single one of us this morning as we remember his calling on our lives. This class of 25 gives us a picture and a moment to recognize, but it's ultimately a calling to disciple and to make disciples wherever we are. My kids are grown and out of the house. What is now my responsibility as I've discipled them is to pour into other men and women and disciples and young, the next generation coming up after me. That may be your story here. You may be done with raising your kids, so you think, although we're never really done with that, are we? Or you may be on the other side of that story. You may be just beginning to, and you may be single. You may be just getting married. You may be thinking about one day there will be children. What will that look like for you? And Psalm 78 gives us in just a few verses, a reminder of our responsibility to the next generation, no matter where we are in our stage of life. And so I want to invite you, if you're able to stand out of reverence for God's word, as I read just three verses, Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning to give thanks for a group of our kids that you have blessed us with the opportunity to in some way raise up, we thank you for the opportunity to bless them and to pray over them, to honor them. More than that, Lord, though, we pray that this morning would be a reminder to all of us of the mission that you have given us to make disciples, to share the gospel, to pass on the faith which you have saved us by, the hope that we have, to share that hope with the world around us. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we look at this passage, just these three short verses, that we might all be encouraged and be reminded of wherever we are, whatever stage of life we are in, the opportunity you have given us to pass on the story of your grace in our lives and to spur one another on to share that with the world so that your glory, yes, would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. May it be so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So as we look at just these short verses, this short passage, we see that God establishes the testimony in Jacob. It says, very beginning, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law. He gave him his word. The emphasis here is on the fact that God is the one who moved. God is the one who did the work. This is God's initiative being shown through this text. God didn't wait for Jacob to find him. God didn't see Jacob's life get to a point where he said, okay, now I can use him. Rather, God initiated. Sometimes theologians use the phrase that God is the first mover in our lives, that we, if we have a faith, if we have a testimony, if you would say to yourself right now, I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've submitted my life to his lordship, then you can know that God established that testimony in your life. Jacob, who would be renamed Israel, the father of the nation of Israel, as we would come to know it in the Old Testament and even moving forward, that guy, Jacob, had no reason that he should be chosen for that task, be chosen for that role. If you know a little bit about Jacob's story, you'll remember that he was a thief. He stole his brother's inheritance, his brother's blessing. In Genesis chapter 22 and later in Genesis chapter 32, if you're not as familiar with Jacob's story, I invite you, take some time to go read his story. And what you will see is a man who had no reason to say that I will be the father of a nation, but God moved in his life and set him apart and used him in a powerful way. He wrestled with him. And what Jacob did is he wrestled with God. God was wrestling with him until he found that his complete dependence was upon him. That Jacob would depend upon God alone. As he faced this army that was going to come against him, God said, I'm going to do something in your life until you learn to completely depend upon me. This is, by the way, just as an aside, sometimes when we're dealing with trials and challenges and suffering and hardships in our life, just know that God may be using that to teach you to depend upon him alone. And we so often need to learn that lesson. But God established this testimony of Jacob's faith, the foundation for an entire nation, because God, he was his only hope. And why did he do this? He did this so that he could then propel Jacob forward to do just that, to be the father of a nation, to establish for himself a people. And this is why he gives in the psalm, he gives this commandment. He reminds him of the commandment that he was given. He appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our fathers to teach their children. that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. See, the testimony was established by God. When we understand that that testimony was given to us, established by God in our lives, and it was given to us not just for our own benefit, but for the sake of the world, and ultimately for the sake of God's glory being known around the world, we realize that there is a purpose in this, that we are to teach this to the next generation. God commanded that this message be passed down to the next generation. Parents, I want to encourage you and remind you of this. We talk so often about discipleship and making disciples and raising up the next generation. When you think about making disciples, yes, we are called to take that gospel message outside of our home, to our workplaces, to our friends, to our neighbors. But if God has entrusted you with children, your first layer, your first place of discipleship and ministry work is in the home, to disciple your children, to pour the truth of God's word into their hearts. When we planted this church all the way back in 2014, I got the wise counsel of many men, and they reminded me over and over again. I probably heard this message no less than 100 times as I shared the story of what God was doing in our lives and the calling that he had given us to establish this church. And they said to me, "Remember, Ryan, you are the pastor for Laurel, Grayson, Carson, and Hudson before you're ever the pastor of City Church, Melissa. You are their pastor first. You are to disciple and pour your life into discipling those children and your wife and leading them well before anything else, because if I had gotten that out of order, things would not have gone well. That was my responsibility. And as parents, this is our responsibility. And as my children are now grown, yes, I continue to pour into them and disciple them and try to lead them as well, but they're out of the home now. And so now there's another generation coming up after them that we give our lives to pour into them, to teach. And this is why all the things that we do in this church, as we think about the next generation, is to train them and equip them to pass on the faith. R.C. Sproul, the great preacher, theologian, he says, "But we are not saved by the profession of our faith. We are saved by the possession of our faith." These aren't just words that we say. We're not striving to convince people to just say, "I believe in Jesus." No, we are calling and discipling and leading them that they would possess a faith. And that's different. There's a difference there between just professing faith and actually believing and having the possession of faith that will sustain them. You're going to meet our senior class, and so many of you in this room have raised up children, sent them off. Some of you are former students that were sent off in this same way as we celebrate this morning. As they go out into the world, as we send out into the world, as we ourselves go out into the world, it's not just the words that we say, it's our lives submitted to Christ. Do you desire that the next generation would be raised up in such a way that they would possess a faith that they could stand firm in against all of the winds of culture and the winds of the world that would toss them to and fro? We do. This is why we do what we do, and this is why the responsibility in God's word tells us to pass that on. Why? He ultimately answers the question, "Arise and tell them to their children," verse 7, "so that they should set their hope in God." Here's the reality, friends. There are so many things that vie for our attention. So many things in this world that we can begin to put our hope in. And our responsibility is that every single person in the world, young and old, would understand that there is only one hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. And that we would set our hope in God alone, because things are going to come against them. Challenges are going to come our way. Is your hope in God alone? Or is it in your profession? Or is it in your career, your family life? Is it in the things that you own? Is it in relationships? Is it in status? No, we are called to put our hope in God alone. And we want the next generation to be able to faithfully possess a faith that they would put their hope in God alone. And here's what I know from my stage of life. And I would guess that you who have followed after Jesus could all say this. Our hearts are fickle. And as life comes against us, there are hard things that come our way. And those hard things that come our way, they tempt us to sort of put our hope in lesser things. Just in the last 48 hours, moved my youngest home from his first year of college. As he came home, we are talking about really the testimony of what God's done in his life. The first couple of weeks of this fall semester were a challenge for him, and he had some struggles, and he was wondering if he was in the right place. He was away from home for the very first time. He loves home. We love that about him. We love him. We love that time with him. But as we pushed him out a little bit of the nest, there were some things that he just had to learn, and new things and new rhythms and building new friendships, and all these things were challenging for him. And as we brought him home, He did share the testimony of how God moved over his life in the last year. He saw God's faithfulness to him over and over and over again. And we were celebrating together all of the Lord's kindness to him in this last year of his life, this first year of his college experience. And then he looks forward to this opportunity he's been given to go and serve at a camp this summer and to give his life away doing that. But there's some challenges that come with that, and time and sacrifice and all these sorts of things. And he began to sort of, we just sensed in him that he was sort of losing hope. I said, babe, do you remember the testimony of what God did in your life over the last year and how faithful he was to you? And you just shared that less than 24 hours ago. And now you're going to doubt that he's going to be faithful to you in whatever it is that you might face coming forward? Don't doubt. Remember the testimony of your own life and what God did there as you face whatever challenges come for you in the future. And guess what? My son is not too different than me. 11 years ago, we planted this church, and then we've grown, and we've seen God move in such powerful ways. We came to this moment earlier this year where we said, we've got to make more room for all the people God is bringing to us and all that God is doing here. And we set out to embark on this journey. Many of you have been a part of this, to raise money and find ourselves to be able to have that groundbreaking ceremony come Father's Day. And when we faced that daunting task, I found myself thinking, Lord, I don't know exactly how you're going to do this. And it's as if God just said to me, wake up, son. Have you seen me for the last 11 years? Have you seen my faithfulness to you? What I've done? I was losing hope, and I needed to be reminded of his testimony, of his faithfulness to sustain us. We need that testimony. We need to be reminded of his faithfulness. And as parents, as the older generation, those young people coming after us need to be reminded, and they need to see it. And it's our responsibility to tell them the stories of what God has done, to point them to remember what God has done in our own lives so that they might cling and begin to grow up in their own faith. They need to know, the world needs to know, that God is our only hope. And so as we send out to whatever the next stage of life is for these seniors, as we pray over them here in a moment, I just want to ask you, where's your part in their story? Maybe it's your own children. If you have young children at home, again, begin thinking. Just know, let the testimony of an old man encourage you and challenge you in this. Your children won't walk out of your home with a faith in Christ if they don't see a faith in Christ in their home. They need to see it in your lives. Yes, God has moved miraculously in some, and as they've been raised in a non-Christian's home, for sure, but we have the opportunity to bless them. What a joy for so many that we've been able to baptize in this church. They say when they come for baptism, I really don't remember a day that I didn't believe that Jesus was real. How precious is that? Today I come to be baptized. I want to proclaim to my church that I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But they say, I really can't remember a time when I didn't know that. That's what we want for all of our children. That's what we want for the world. And this generation of students, they have an opportunity to go out and continue to make much of Jesus, and in a new way, do that standing firm on their own faith in Christ, that they've put their hope in Jesus and they possess a faith. This is what we want and we desire for them. So that's why we pray. And that's why we do all the things that we do when we think of our next generation ministry, pouring into students and kids and little ones so that they would grow up knowing the love of Christ. Oh, taste and see
that the Lord. Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa.
We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. You say.